फुल नेम एंड कंपनी नेम?
या प्रणाली पाटील फ्रॉम आयडन इन्व्हेस्टमेंट कनेक्ट मी टू प्रिकॉल लिमिटेड कॉन्फरन्स कॉल प्रिकॉल.
The conference is now being recorded.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Nirav, moderator for this conference. Welcome to the conference call of Precol Limited, arranged by Concept Investor Relations to discuss its Q1 FY22 results. We have with us today Mr. Vikram Mohan, Managing Director, Mr. Krishnamurthy Pathivaraman, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. P.M. Ganesh, Chief Marketing Officer, Mr. Siddharth Manoharan, Head Strategy and Special Projects. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Mohan, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mohan.
Thank you for the introduction, Gaurav. On behalf of all the stakeholders of Precol Limited and my colleagues present here today, Krishnamurthy, our CFO, Ganesh, our Head of Marketing, and Siddharth, our Head of Strategy and Projects, I'd like to welcome all our investors and shareholders participating in this call to discuss the financials of the first quarter of the financial year FY21-22. The presentation has been uploaded, and I do hope all of you had a chance to go through the details that was uploaded. We have seen a significant growth over the previous quarter, in the previous fiscal year. That is because in the last year at the same time, we had significant closures due to COVID and loss of sales. Nevertheless, this quarter also was quite a suppressed quarter, as initially the western plants of the company were subject to lockdown due to the pandemic, followed by closure of the northern plants of the company for an extended period in May, followed by a very extended closure for nearly 6 weeks of our southern and mother plants of the company, which resulted in significant loss of plant sales in the first quarter. This compounded by the acute shortage of IC components or child parts in the electronics has resulted in quite a bit of disruption in the automotive industry, especially for companies like ourselves, which are heavily dependent on electronics compared to mechanical products. It has resulted in significant raw material price increases, most of which has been offset thanks to the gratitude and cooperation offered by our OEM customers, but some of it has to be absorbed by us, which has resulted in some degree of impact on the EBITDA compared to the previous quarters. We had a EBITDA of 11.17% for this quarter. As I mentioned earlier, if not for the extended lockdowns in different parts of the country between April, May and June, and the acute increase in raw material prices, especially on the electronics, we would have comfortably had an EBITDA of at least 300 basis points or 3% higher than what was achieved here. We have generated a decent cash profit in this quarter, and we have also started retiring our debt substantially, and my team and I are quite hopeful that by March of 2022, our debt levels would come down even further, putting us in a very, very comfortable debt equity position and DSCR. Our borrowings are shown in this slide. We have effected some new borrowings under the government guarantee scheme and also retired higher cost debt. But nevertheless, since we are going to be on a CapEx light year, we expect to further reduce our debt and bring it down to significantly in the next two quarters. Our consolidated results are also in line with standalone results. The wiping business subsidiary based in Western India has started performing well and will show considerably good results in the next few quarters. That company has become absolutely debt-free and has started generating a healthy amount of free cash. Our operations in Indonesia have been affected very badly by the pandemic. As all of you may be aware, that Indonesia has seen a major resurgence of COVID. Nevertheless, that operation continues to generate a small amount of cash for us and has also become completely debt-free. So both of our manufacturing subsidiaries are now debt-free subsidiaries and are positive cash accruing and positive, both significant positive EBITDA. Our third subsidiary, Precall Asia, which is our purchasing arm, has no borrowings whatsoever and is also generating free cash flows. Overall, that gives you the consolidated profit from operations for the first quarter that's gone by, and we have a consolidated EBITDA of about 12.3%. which, as I mentioned, could have comfortably been 15% at least, if not for the acute shortage of electronic components and price increases of anywhere between 300 to 1,800% of the electronic components in recent times. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to, along with my team, to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants are requested to ask two questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Amit Mehta from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for giving this opportunity. Just a question on the sales part. You know, you have reported 316 crore of sales in the quarter one. Can we know the breakup of these sales between the sales from the new products or from the four-wheelers where you were restricted because of your non-compete clause with Denso in? And then how much is from export and how much is from EV vehicles? Can we get some rough color on, you know, this revenue mix?
Thank you for this interesting question, Mr. Mehta. Mr. Ganesh, our Chief Marketing Officer, will answer your question.
Good evening, Mr. Mehta.
Yes.
A rough breakup is like last call also we mentioned that our share of business at Tata Motors has been significantly going up. With also PSA as a new entrant into the four-wheeler segment, our percentage, as a percentage, the four-wheeler would be about 10% on the total revenue of 310 crores.
Okay.
And also our export has significantly grown during quarter one, which stands at around 15% as of now. That would be the rough breakup.
Okay. And how much is from the new products? In fact, last year it was 40% in FY21, if I am correct.
Indeed, the new product continues to be at over 20%. And this is expected to continue at the same percentage in the remaining quarters of this year.
Okay. And, you know, this we know the Q1 was there was because of the lockdown in the southern Tamil Nadu, the production was affected. How is the situation for the July month and the current August month? Are we at the normal level, operational level?
Mr. Mehta, I'll answer this question. This is Vikram Mohan here.
Yeah.
The lockdowns have got lifted in Tamil Nadu, western Tamil Nadu, which was acutely affected by COVID.
Yeah.
Around the middle of July.
Okay.
In July also we had some suboptimal operation.
Okay.
Not so much due to COVID, but the overall pull from the OEMs has got reduced.
Okay.
It's not that our share of business has reduced.
Mm.
Because there is an acute shortage of electronic parts.
Okay.
This has affected OEM production.
Okay.
We are still, this quarter also is going to be below plan, but not because of lockdowns.
Yeah.
But because of overall OEM production levels going down, which I think is going to continue. I think we are in for a third round of lockdowns in the third wave, which is already starting to show signs in different parts of the country. I think we will have another subdued quarter only. Normally, the quarter of July, August, and September is a very good quarter for the automotive industry pre-festival sales. I don't think this year it is going to be so. We are taking a fairly conservative estimate for this quarter also, and we have estimated only conservative cash flows. What is more worrisome than COVID is the acute shortage of electronic components, which is not showing any signs of easing off. It is affecting various stakeholders in the industry, which is affecting the industry, which I think is going to exist for some more time. When I mean some more time, at least for another 4-6 quarters. Though our supply chain has eased off, our customer supply chains have not eased off, which is overall affecting the industry.
Okay. You know, when we look at the pre-call, the degrowth in Q1 is roughly about 27%-28% or 29%, okay, roughly. Vis-a-vis, how is the industry degrowth in the Q1 if you want to compare pre-call versus other automotive component in the, yeah.
We have not degrown, Mr. Mehta. We have degrown compared to when? Can you please tell me?
Compared to the previous quarter or, you know, the normal period. Degrown means your, compared.
Oh, okay.
To the normal situation. Yeah. Not compared to the year-on-year, because last year first quarter the lockdown was much severe and this year's first quarter the lockdown is not as severe as, you know, we have experienced during the last year. Yeah. I'm just comparing the industry degrowth in the Q1 compared to the Q4.
See, that's an unfair comparison in the sense because typically Q4 is a high performance quarter for the industry.
Okay.
Q1 is always a weaker performance, then Q2 is a peak highest performance, and Q3 is the weakest performance. This is how the automotive industry has been performing for decades today.
Yeah.
When you're comparing sequentially on a Q4 to Q1.
Mm.
You know, it's not a favorable comparison.
Okay.
Having said that, we are in line with this. Under normal circumstances, we should have performed better than industry by 10% because of our increased share of business.
Okay.
For Q1, whatever the industry grew or degrew at, we are in line with that. Okay? I expected a 10% better performance than industry because of our share of business increase. Because our southern plants, two mother plants in Coimbatore were worst affected in the first lockdown, where we had 7 weeks of lockdown.
Okay.
We were in line with the industry.
Okay. This you have in your opening remarks, you have you mentioned about EBITDA margin. You said that it could have been 3% higher than what you have reported. Do you think that the pre-call can report EBITDA margin of about 14% in a normal at a normal level of operation? Do you mean that?
We have reported 14%-15% EBITDA margins at normal levels of operation. Barring the surge pricing in the electronics, when I mean surge, it's not by 10% or 20%. It's been between 200%-1,800% price increases.
Okay.
We are operating at this margin level.
Mm.
Yes. So we will suffer this 2-2.5% EBITDA loss till the electronic prices come back to normal. We are taking internal cost control measures, which have helped us deliver this EBITDA.
Okay.
Hopefully, with some more measures, and hopefully COVID not being so impactful in the third wave, and hopefully the electronic shortages not affecting the OEMs, there are too many hopes on external factors that we are not having under control. We will perhaps Q2 itself deliver a better EBITDA, definitely not 15% or 14%.
Okay. Can I continue more questions, or shall I come back in the queue?
Yes, please continue.
Yeah. So the export is almost 15% during the current year, which is approximately 45 crore. Is it correct, in Q1? So-
Yes.
Yeah. So can we say that we are hinging towards 200 crore annual export revenue, you know, going forward?
We are actually aiming for, in about 3 years' time, strategically-
Yeah.
For the exports to be about 20% of our annualized revenue when we are at around 2,000 crore of sales, and we are on track for that. Let's not take it quarter by quarter, because there have been a lot of shipping disruptions.
Okay.
There have been a lot of, you know, the Suez Canal closures, which are all putting things into, you know, non-predictable manner. But a lot of export business has got added, committed business, capacities have got created.
Yeah.
We are on track for it to be 20% of our business in 2 years' time, when hopefully things come back to normal and our turnover should be somewhere in the region of about 2,000-2,100 crores.
Okay. And, regarding the four-wheeler, where you have already, you are on the Tata platform and one more company you said, I think Peugeot you said, correct?
Peugeot, yes.
Yeah. So right now it is 10%, so-
Sir, Mehta-
Yeah.
Four-wheelers are two segments. We are very strong in the four-wheeler and commercial vehicle segment.
Okay.
We are now talking of four-wheeler passenger vehicle segment, which is specifically car-
Okay.
Where from a zero market share, we are building up.
Okay. And the last question is on the debt repayment. We were 170 crore of debt as on March 2021. So what is the current, as on 30th June, what is the net debt we have?
It is there in the presentation showed we were not at 170 crore, we were much higher than 170 crore.
Okay.
The presentation has clearly the net debt movement figures.
Okay.
And also what debt we added and what we reduced.
Okay, okay. I'll have a look at it. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kush Gosrani from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead. Kush, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with your question? Kush, can you hear us?
Can I request you to move on to the next person in the question queue, please, from PhillipCapital?
Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Dhiral from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Please go ahead, Dhiral.
Sir, my question is pertaining to the driver information system. So what are the new development which we are doing into that segment particularly, sir?
There are a lot of technological improvements that we have done in the driver information system. I will let our Chief Marketing Officer, Ganesh, take that question, please.
Dhiral, on the driver information system, the significant change in technology is the TFT. Earlier we had LCD, which is a static information. Now we have moved into a lot of dynamic information using the TFT technology. This is number one. Second thing is we have moved significantly into the connected vehicle solution. Starting from the NTORQ in 2018, where we were the first to launch the connected vehicle solution into the two-wheeler. Thereby, we have launched a number of vehicles into the two-wheeler, including the recent Suzuki, which you would have seen, which is a connected vehicle solution, again, done by Precon. So the new technology is on the TFT and the connected vehicle solutions.
Ganesh, can I just request you to talk about the dark mode clusters also that have been launched?
Yes. You would have also seen in the recent Tata Motors launching the dark edition, where we have developed the instrument cluster. You can see the shade of dark matching with the internal environment of the vehicle, which is a state-of-art technology done by Precon.
Also
on the EV and on the telematics, which is linked to the DIS, can you throw some light, Mr. Ganesh, for the benefit of all our investors?
Sure. There has been a recent launch done by PSA for export to Morocco. This is one of their first of kind of EV vehicle, which they have started building up at their Morocco facility. So we are supplying an EV car cluster, which is exported to PSA Morocco. And also, we have launched a number of connected vehicle solutions for the EV two-wheeler as well. You would have seen the recent iQube, which has been launched by TVS, which is with a TFT connected vehicle EV solution.
Okay. And so any...
But, Viral, in the cluster technology, on the pumps also, we continue to work on the pumps division and the controllers. We are working on new technologies. Our technology spend continues to be a robust 4.5% of our sales, which is going to keep us ahead of the competition in the coming years.
Okay. And suddenly new, collaboration which we are planning or which we have entered into for, upgrading our technology or technology know-how?
I am very proud to inform you that I am in line with the PM's message of Atmanirbhar in manufacturing. We are Atmanirbhar in technology also. I'm proud to state that we have not had any technical collaboration for technology. We have paid no royalty for technology compared to our competition. All our technology is developed in-house, which is why we spend double of what our competition spends on product and process development, and which is what is giving us results and helping us increase our market share.
Okay, that's very good, sir. And lastly, about the debt, sir, any timeline to become a debt-free company?
If all goes well, by December 2022, but definitely by March 2023, provided the world does not have any surprises for us.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shashank from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Sir, in your initial remarks, you mentioned that you have to absorb some amount of price hikes because of raw material cost. Whereas the numbers on the consolidated basis that you report, there is an expansion in gross margins. So, can you please help us understand why there is a difference between your commentary and the numbers reported?
If not for those absorption of the surge pricing. Commodity prices have been, we have an indexation system with our customers. Though we have had an impact, it is going to come back after one or two quarters. So I'm going to split that into two parts. There is a surge pricing and, there is because of the electronic commodities, which if not for our internal cost control measures, our EBITDA would have taken a much bigger knock. So what you are seeing is net of improvements, what we have been able to absorb. Otherwise, we could have comfortably delivered another 200 to 250 basis points of EBITDA or 2.5% of EBITDA. That's what I'm alluding to.
So for us, RM cost was normally in the range of 70%, right? For this quarter,
you're not very clear. I'm not able to hear you, Mr. Shashank. Can you be a little more clear, please? Your voice is garbled.
Yeah. The raw material cost for us in last quarter was roughly 70%, right? In this quarter, it is 67%. So is this a sustainable run rate going forward for us? Or is there any one-off?
No. This is also dependent on the product. It's because of the exports, more importantly, where our margins are higher. And it is becoming a little unpredictable, the raw material cost, okay? Because especially the ICs and electronics, because we are forced to pay premiums and buy what is available in the market. So like I said, the price increases have been anywhere between 200% to 1,800% increases for the ICs, which is, I mean, we are not able to plan for such situations.
But sir, on the contrary, you have performed better, right? So
we are able to get cost reductions and VAVEs on all our other parts to offset and reduce this impact significantly.
Secondly, sir, in one of the earlier participants' response, you mentioned that the new product sales is roughly 20-odd%, right? In last fiscal, it was to the tune of 40-odd%. So
Yes, we added a new product line in our fiscal, which is a fuel pump module, which was a regulatory product when we moved from BS4 to BS6 regime. This year, it is a healthy 20-25%.
Okay. And sir, lastly, what kind of debt reduction are we planning for this year?
Like I mentioned, if all goes well, we want to be, I don't want to put a firm figure, but we will be significantly lower, at least by about 25-30% compared to our present debt by the end of this financial year.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kush from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, Kush, please go ahead.
Sorry for the earlier thing. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to inquire whether, since you have indicated acute shortage of IC, have the lead times expanded from last quarter? Have they increased or have they remained at that levels? Any indication on that part?
Have what increased? Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The lead times for to get these ICs to our plants.
The lead times are now anywhere between 12 to 18 months, Kush. So we are working closely with our customers to predict orders for the next 18 months and placing forward orders, and we are also buying off market. And that is one of the reasons our working capital has gone up and our inventory has gone up, and which is what is showing the stress on the, which will continue to show some stress on the bottom line.
Okay. Okay, sure. Thank you. And just on the broad picture, what would be the percentage increase in our market share over last 3 to 5 years in DIS, if you are able to quantify?
We have been flat in the last quarter, but over the last 3 years, in two-wheeler DIS, we have gone from 35% to about 52-53%. In commercial vehicle and off-road vehicle segment, we have gone from about 45-50% to about 78-80%. And in the passenger vehicle cars, we are going to inch up from about 0% to about 8-9%.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Samarth from Fort Capital. Please go ahead.
In our for the ICs that we procure, do we have any minimum order quantity for this? And generally, how much was the normal inventory that we used to hold earlier versus the situation now?
We are holding about 25 crores additional inventory compared to, we typically have about 12 inventory turns. So I don't want to give a figure, it is based on sales. It's about 12 inventory turns, but about 25 crores additional inventory we are holding on account of the IC shortage.
Okay. By when do you see the situation improving on the IC shortage side?
Overall, for the industry, indications are showing it is going to normalize after about 6 quarters. These are what industry are predicting.
Okay. And sir, on the gross margin side, do the products that we supply in the electric vehicle generate more gross margin than the ones we are supplying for traditional IC engine vehicles?
No, not necessarily. But we have built up the value chain, so there's higher fixed cost absorption in the newer generation vehicles.
Okay.
And our exports continue to give us good gross margins. And it is when you move up the value chain to connected clusters and TFT clusters, margin per cluster rupee value is higher compared to a conventional mechanical cluster.
Okay. And the gross margins that we have reported, means they are seeing the raw material situation, the numbers seem to be quite well at 33%. Do you see this continuing going forward between 33-34% range earlier compared to earlier, which was 30-31%?
With a plus or minus 2%, you will see a variance based on the product mix. Based on what the OEM is going to sell. Because, for example, in the month of July, TVS and HMCL, what they predicted to what they sold has been so different. So this is going to keep going because it means what they are getting because of the IC shortage. So neither is the customer able to predict nor are we able to predict. It's a very, very peculiar situation. I've been in the industry for so long now. My head of marketing has been in the industry for so long now. And we have never seen a dynamic situation as we see today.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Manish Srivastava from Amla Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for letting me ask questions here and for a very good set of numbers in the context of the COVID-affected quarter. I just wanted to understand a bit more on the balance sheet side, one or two issues. One, I noticed that, you know, your standalone debt has gone up by about 31 crores, gross debt. And consolidated gross debt has gone up by about 14 crores only, okay? So which basically tells me that about 17 or 18 crores of debt has been repaid at your subsidiary level. And that was all that the debt was there at the subsidiary level. So is it right to assume that all the debt at subsidiary level has been paid off? Two, is it the Indonesian subsidiary we are talking about? And in general, what is the operating plan at the Indonesian subsidiary? Because clearly to fund that debt payoff, you would have moved more money from here. So there would be some thought process on the operating side in terms of what are we looking to do there at the Indonesian subsidiary level. So what's the plan there? That's one. Two, from the debt increase...
Manish, let me take one question at a time so that's easier rather than have a question queue. Yes, we have from the parent paid off the, some of the debt in our subsidiaries because we wanted to exit certain banking relationships. Certain banks that were not supportive during our difficult times in the past 2 years. We rejigged our portfolio, so we decided to exit certain banking relationships. So certain monies were moved to our subsidiaries in both our subsidiaries and they paid off and debt. So overall consolidated, you know, you'd see a movement of the debt and standalone the debt would have gone up. I will talk to you about our plans both for our Indonesian subsidiary as well as for our other subsidiary in India, which is at three subsidiaries. One is only a buying house based in Singapore, which only does all our buying of our parts for only the Precon group. There is no external business. So that is going to be completely tied to the fortunes of Precon, where we are getting some cost arbitrages of buying in Singapore and lower costs, you know, lower, you know, LC rates, etc., which is giving us some benefits overall. The Indonesian subsidiary will continue to remain flat, will continue to generate very little amount of cash, significant to write home about at least for another 2 years. Because we don't have visibility for very big new business there for the next 2 years. We have started some exports business from Indonesia to America on pumps for Harley-Davidson and also to BMW because of the free trade agreement between Indonesia and the US, thanks to the anti-China rhetoric. It started off as a small base which will grow in the coming year, but it's not going to be very substantial. But it's not going to be a loss-making subsidiary. It is not going to suck up any cash. It will accrue a little bit overall to the EBITDA. Whereas, interestingly, the subsidiary in India, the white subsidiary, which though not a core business, I must commend my team on a remarkable turnaround there, and that is going to significantly see some business increases and also free cash flows coming back to the parent company. That is going to see some significant developments because a lot of new business has been won. We will be putting some investments to cater to that business, but that will be catered to by that business itself and will not require, hopefully, any funding from the parent. But if the business increase is going to be far in excess of what we anticipated, then perhaps the funding to cater to that business increase is going to be done. That's with regard to the Indian subsidiary, the Viking subsidiary based in Western India.
Great. That's very, very useful. Right. The other question I wanted to ask was like, you know, there's already a lot of cash sitting there in the subsidiaries. Again, is it like is it about like supporting the exports to US that you're keeping the cash there, or any other strategic plans on that? What's the thought around that?
There is no spare cash sitting in the subsidiaries, Manish. We are running tight ships in both the places.
Okay, because what I saw was in fiscal 21 accounts, the balance sheet. If you looked at the cash that was there, cash slash deposits, whatever, which was there in the standalone accounts versus the consolidated account, it sort of suggested that there was about 45 odd crores of cash actually lying there in the subsidiary. So I don't know, maybe that's the wrong way to look at it. But at least there was that difference between consolidated cash and the cash in the standalone books. About 46 crores was the difference.
It's definitely not so. I think if you can send a specific query to our CFO, he'd be happy to answer that. Because I know for a fact we run very tight ships in both the places. And, you know, in spite of the small operations, that's why we're able to generate money. There's, I mean, if there was spare cash, I would have used that to further bear down debt.
My money, there is no idle cash. There is no idle cash. Since it is a snapshot on the last day of the quarter, we have received some cash and that gets consumed in the subsequent days. There is no idle cash at all. As MD said, we are working on a tight schedule with respect to our cash situation. And whatever surplus cash we have, we use it for repaying our high cost loans.
Okay, fair enough. That's good enough. And the third thing, sorry, if I may ask about the working capital side. Clearly, like we haven't really spent anything on capex here in this quarter, but we have taken more debt, and the business did generate at least profits. Don't know cash. So clearly, working capital has gone up during this quarter. Is it because we have paid off our vendors very aggressively, or it's just inventory and receivables increase which has driven that significant increase in working capital?
It's not a significant increase. Our working capital has been brought down to zero in March. But there is some amount of working capital deployment, but it's all three reasons. Vendors have been kept under control. Receivable delays. There's a combination of everything why we have managed our working capital.
Okay. Fair enough. That's good. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot for the answer.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shashank from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, depending upon the failures that you get from your OEM clients, what are the growth prospects for us for this year, at least for the industry and for us?
As I mentioned, I don't know about industry because, like I said, we are in such a VUCA situation where I'm not able to predict next month compared to my customers are not committing to next month because it's such a VUCA situation. But we will grow at 10% over industry if there is no further severe lockdown which is going to hamper production.
Okay. And so what about, we are targeting some 2,000 crores of sales, right? So this you mentioned is by FY23, right? Or FY24?
Pardon me?
So you're targeting something like 2,000 or 2,100 crores of sales, right? So this is by FY23 or by FY24?
FY23.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press.
I apologize. Sorry for the last question. Well, in FY23-24, we will hit 2,100 crores.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question.
Since there are no more questions, can I thank everyone for having participated in the investors call on behalf of my team, and thank you all for your questions and your patient hearing, and we look forward to meeting you all after our quarter two results, which we hope and pray will be much better than quarter one for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Concept Investor Relations, that concludes this conference. If you have any further queries, please send us an email to gaurav.g@conceptpr.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.